Hi, and welcome to Frame Society, where we discuss real-life issues in film. Today, we have a really fun episode, and yet, frankly, disturbing as well. We're going to talk about the animation movie, the stop-motion, My Life as a Courgette. And
zucchini. For the non-French people out there.
No, you know, only in America. The only place where it's zucchini is America. The rest is courgette in every
They don't like other
except in Portugal, which is the little pumpkin, which is just them. But anyway.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I noticed
that. What? We also say courgette.
But, like, if you watch the movie with, like... captions in Portuguese, it's like little pumpkin. They call
Why?
Him little pumpkin. I don't know. Don't ask
It doesn't
me.
Make any sense.
Yeah, well, translations, am I right? So, yeah, this movie is directed by, I don't want to say this name, like, badly. Sasha, can you read it?
Wait, I don't have it, like, say it, and I say it better, because I don't have his name, like, it's right there.
Claude, right?
Claude.
Whatever. Okay. And then it's... I mean, if I would say it in Portuguese, it's Barres. But
okay. Barra.
Okay, yeah, that.
Claude Barra.
Yeah, oof. That. I mean, I'm sorry. I'd rather Sasa say it than me butchering it. So, yeah.
I mean, you never know.
Yeah, and the screenplay was actually by Celine Sciamma. Sciamma? Yeah, the director of Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which is really, really cool. Yeah, I saw that in the credits and I was like, nice.
Ooh.
Yeah, cute little Easter egg there. Okay. Yeah, so let's begin. Talk about this masterpiece, this amazing piece of film. Merch.
This time I'm not going to waste time searching on IMDb, sadly. I have already everything I need in our document. So, straight to the point. Our synopsis says, after losing his mother, a young boy is sent to a foster home with other orphans his age, where he begins to learn the meaning of trust and true love.
That's yeah, that's weird. Very, 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 how do I say, summarized version of the synopsis of
it's
the movie.
Straight to the point.
Yeah.
You get the idea, the general idea of the thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, as always, like, if you haven't seen the movie yet, maybe... Watch first,
the movie
and
just
then
like, listen to this. Yeah, yeah. It's better. If you don't want to get spoiled, you know.
Exactly. So the movie talks about a lot of things. It talks about, you know, surviving abuse and trauma. It talks about death, obviously. It talks about being abandoned. And it talks about the resilience of children and solidarity and finding understanding, I
and
guess.
Innocence.
Yeah, innocence as well, of course. So, of course. You know, the the movie is populated by abused children, troubled children, basically. You know, we start with Courgette, which is he. We don't know who or where his father is. We have no idea. We have a very big impression that it was a nasty split between he and his mother.
It was. It's a fact. It was.
Yeah. And his mom is a raging alcoholic that we can tell beats him. You know. Great family dynamic, am I right?
Poor kid.
Yeah, and... Mm-hmm. You know, in the orphanage, we find a lot of children with a bad past, you know. Simon, who is the bad guy, appointed leader of the thing, you know. His parents
is a bully. He's a bully, basically.
His parents were drug addicts, still are. Well,
were not, yes. Are.
Sorry. and then, you know, we have Bea, right? Bea?
Something? Bea, if you want to say it with an English accent, it will be Bea. Because Bea. She's Beatrice.
Yeah. Bea, her mom got deported. And then we have, like... I forgot the name again of the kid whose mom has OCD.
Wait, I have
Jujube.
A
Jujube. Yeah. Jujube. I don't know how you would say it in English. Like, I don't know, but in French it's Jujube.
It must be Jujube.
Probably. Like the famous drag queen. Oh my God.
Yes. Jujube.
Yes, okay. The references are shining through early on in this episode, okay.
Yes.
yeah, and so, you know, there's a lot more kids, you know, there's one of them, his, Ahmed, right? Ahmed?
Hamed.
His dad is in prison because apparently, you know, he was accused of stealing. We don't know if he stole... Or not, but he's in prison for it, at least. And then there's this girl that's, you know, she's an abuse survivor from her dad. You know, it's Alice. Inferred. Yeah. It's inferred that she might have been sexually abused as well as beaten and, yeah. and everything. But
they don't, they but don't there's touch not a direct, on the topic. Yeah. Yeah, they just say she lived, like her dad used to do... nasty things to her and we do not know anything more about it, and we just see that she has a scar on her eye, on one of her eye, and so we guess it's like complicated.
Yeah, and she also has this fixation with numbers, with counting numbers, which oftentimes is a coping mechanism, supposedly, from what I've read, common with sexual abuse survivors. I don't really know how, like, real or statistic wise how common that is, but apparently that's a thing, that's a symptom. Wow. So that's why we infer this kind of thing.
Can I just refer, Merch, your camera just went crazy.
Really?
I told you.
Oh my God, that's really creepy, because I'm looking at and everything
and
is
it's
okay.
Fine. Yeah. Now you're fine, but you went a little bit crazy.
That's kind of scary. Do you think there's a spirit in my house that doesn't like podcasts?
Maybe.
I don't know, but maybe let's hope he goes away and only comes back in the Halloween special. Right?
Wink, wink. We're so far away from Halloween, but we're like...
A producer always makes plans in advance.
True. Oh, that's a lot of advance. Well, back to the movie, sorry.
So we have, you know, a lot of troubled kids that need to, you know, coexist in this one space that is the orphanage. One thing that's really cool is that, what's wrong, sausage?
Nothing. More reference. Nothing. Just continue.
One thing that's really cool is that, you know, there's this thing that most movies about troubled youth, there's this figure of the bad adult that doesn't care, that's, you know, always the villain and everything, but... The thing here is that even though there are bad adults, we almost don't get contact with them.
Yeah.
I mean, the person that appears more is Camille's aunt. And even she isn't a focal point in the movie. She's just a plot point to get through, honestly. I'd say. And she's a live representation of what... all those kids went through, you know, abusive adults, but the system that's built to help them, that most of the times is vilified, you know, orphanages.
It's not in this
movie doesn't do that. They are work well and they are a good institution with good people and people that really love what they do, which is helping children. And like, you know, I wouldn't say the you know, like social services are not flawed. I'm sure there's a lot of really bad experiences out there regarding this kind of reality, but this movie I feel like is refreshing in that sense, because yeah. I sure as hell hope that there are good social workers and assistants there that do their job
and
well.
And they are.
Yeah.
There are. Like, this movie doesn't have a bad guy.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a bad guy or, like, the evil guy or stuff. It's just, like, experience and, like, challenges, small challenges that they end up overcoming, all of them. And it's, like, really interesting to see that, as you said, normally, like, orphanages and the system is vilified and is the bad guy and they need to get out of here. In this movie, no, it's like they liked it, that it's their safe place. Like
they go on road trips,
yeah,
to see the
so
snow.
It's nice. I like this movie a lot because yeah, I know there is a lot of bad experience in orphanages, as you said, but actually knowing people that grew up in the system, like, there are some good experience too, and usually, even if the grow-ups, the adults, are not always the best in those places, because, you know, we don't live in a perfect world, the kids between them, you know, with each other, they, like, build really strong bonds, and it's really, like, something special to grow up in the system. So I like the fact that the movie represents that really, really well.
Yeah, but besides from being, it's green in a very unique way because of the, you know, it keeps your attention even before you start watching it, because it's a different style of animation and the characters are so, their expressions are so expressive.
I love to watch, like, the kids just standing there, you know, like, looking like, just as, when I look at them, I'm just like, this is so realistic. They just look like kids standing there.
The thing is, they have this, you know, I read somewhere about that, actually. One of the most important things in building the characters, actually, is the eyes. Because they have such big eyes that, you know, obviously, it's the innocence of childhood and everything, but it's also this window into the world. You know, the whole experience of the movie is you're put almost in that group of wide-eyed kids that are looking into the world and what it brings, you know? They're, like, all in the age of, like, 9 to 10, something like that. So that's a really pivotal age where you know, of course you look at the world when you're younger, but that's that age where you're in the middle of, you still have all that childhood innocence, but you're starting to really look at the world, you know? Obviously, you know, there's the whole puberty thing that's going to happen later and make you, you know, into you and whatever, but that age where you first start to really look, I think it's really well represented in the style of animation and the puppets and the whole feeling of the movie, even though most themes on this movie are honestly kind of depressing. the colors of the movie, so vivid and so, you know, I think it finds a great balance of being cotton candy and, you know, a rock to your skull at the same time.
I actually don't think the theme of the movies are really depressing. I think it's really hopeful. And actually, like, it emphasizes more on the positive aspects of it. And because we see it through Courgette's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he is so naive, so innocent, so like, everything he sees, everything he experiences, so it has always something good in it. always, you know, it doesn't have a dad, but it can dream about him being a superhero. His mom is an alcoholic and probably beats him, but she is his mom. And, I mean, she calls him names and whatever. She kind of acknowledges his existence. I don't know. And so I think that Courgette has this thing of always finding good in it, in things, in everything. And he ends up passing this idea through. And so even if we start off with really bad backgrounds, the story in itself is really hopeful and positive, and it's really nice.
Yeah. No, and I mean, like I said before, there's obviously this, you know, not in a moralizing way, but there's obviously this thing of there's always going to be a safer, warmer place that all the kids think about, you know. One of the main things that I remember, the main frames, is when they go on that trip to see the snow, and they're all playing and rolling around in the snow. And actually, two things. First is when they're coming off on the sled, and two of the kids get trapped in the snowman's bodies. This idea of the kids leaving their reality, you know, leaving their body to experiment becoming something else, to have another point of view. I thought that that detail was really interesting in that sense. And the other is when another kid falls down from a sled and his mom is there helping him up with his and tending to his bruises. And the you see this long plan of the kids just standing there looking at that display of affection, that reality that they don't feel connected to, although they find that motherly warmth, I guess, within each other and with the people at the orphanage. That's a really, I don't know, that plan is beautiful. I really like the, when you were talking about the aspect of why the eyes were so big, one thing that it's really interesting, normally people say that kids until they achieve puberty have are very on the lookout for everything. They give very much attention to every single detail, and it's really interesting seeing how the decision on making these characters with such big eyes, considering the trauma they've been through. And it kind of portrays how that attention to those details that they weren't supposed to give kind of shaped the person they are becoming, the human being on this earth. And how they react to those things and furthermore create relationships. Oh my god, Sasa, no.
Again?
It's the freaking wind. I know why my camera... I think my camera is glitching because of the wind, because yours, Shanna, was glitching just now. So, I don't know what's
really
going on. Yeah.
But it's so... It's such a good weather here in the
north
of Portugal.
No, but because of... Yeah. But in here, it's quite a storm. And the other day, my light went on and off for like 6 times in a row because of the wind. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
So,
yeah. Well, sorry. I just went away. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, we did.
We're really happy about that.
It's fine. We can always cut it.
I mean, we're going to cut it. Because I am recording, so...
This part
has been cut.
Unless
you want to see my screen.
Yeah, well...
Well,
life,
where
am
were
I right?
We?
Yeah, we were talking about how, you know, 3 things that are important in the movie and how we progress with the characters are how they and we as well can learn how to survive and how to evolve through our traumas and how to live past them and how they find affection and solidarity. And the fact that them sharing their experiences helps them in understanding each other and in creating this community within each other where they can, you know, have no fear of being themselves and they can feel supported. Because, you know, this especially happens with Simon. He has this obsession or a need to know the stories of every kid that goes in order to understand their place in the orphanage and in his life. And, you know, he basically creates this familiarity between all of them because he knows the story of every single kid that's in the orphanage. And he goes out of his way to find out about it. And yeah, Simon is a very troubled character with many layers.
That's the thing.
All of them are, obviously, but...
Simon is the best, yes. No, we're not arguing this fact. He is my favorite character. It's the thing that, like, Simon is... And is, like, Courgette is so, like, hopeful. And he only see good. Or he always try to see good. Simon is the opposite of him. He always see bad. And even when he has some good, he always see bad. And so, Simon has this thing of, he's still attached to his trauma and still trying to get attached to the other's trauma, like, making it still important in their lives and prominent in their life. And that's why Alice... When he starts talking and bullying in the beginning, she's like, she gets really stressed and really like, it gets dark. Until Camille comes into play and Alice starts to see the bright side because she gets hopeful because she does not like feel so attached to her past problems. And Simon is like, he needs to know their stories because that's the bad in all of them and they all have, right? And since he's so attached to his, he wants kind of everybody to feel attached to theirs so they are all in the same level. You know what we say, bullies often are the ones that suffer the most. Often, not always, but often. And so since he's such a trouble kid and, you know, technically he's the only kid that still have his parents near him in his life because Camille parents died, Courgette parents, like dad is not here, mother died, Hamed's mother's gone, father in jail, Alice father in jail, Bia mother deported. And Juju B, I think it was like his mother went like
to a psych ward.
Yeah. Is that exactly? So they can't technically be in their kid's life, but Simon, his parents are like in his life. He still communicates with them. They just like can't take care of him because drug, and so he suffers a lot because of that. And so he wants everybody to get attached to their past that makes them suffer and that makes them angsty child, I guess. And at the end, he comes to realizing that he's been loved in the orphanage, even if his parents couldn't give him the childhood, the perfect childhood that every kid wants, you know, with like loving and caring parents. He got that type of love, caring and affection in another way, from the kids and the adults in the orphanage. And so, and like, the last image we see of him, like, when it's, like, child's weather, and you see, like, everybody's sunny and happy, and he is, like, angsty, you know? And he just, like, switch it up to sunny, and it goes away. And I just think, like, oh my god, so beautiful.
Yeah, it's a really subtle way to show how he changes.
Yeah, his character, like, it's literal. It's literal. We see it, but it's smart. I don't know. Yeah. It's smart.
Not subtle, smart, it. Yeah.
His character is so interesting. It's the one that most evolved. And I always love, like, the outcast. The one that is bad but turned out to be good, you know. I love it.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, that little shift you also see in Alice in a kind of a subtle and straightforward way. But from the moment she starts to show her eye and put her bangs, not her bangs, but her hair, behind her ear, it's kind of a reveal, a kind of detachment from the past. That's really beautiful. This movie is beautiful.
It's beautiful. And the same thing happens with Bea, actually, that whenever she hears a car coming, she goes out and she goes, Mom, like, is that you? But then when her mom finally arrives, you know, she doesn't want to go with her anymore because, like, she's not attached to her Holt life or mom or her Holt family. She had a new one, and so she wants to stay at the orphanage with the other kids. And that's interesting. I don't know. I find it really interesting, like, those shifts.
Yeah.
Another interesting character. Sorry. Yeah, you say, no, Shanna, you go. I was waiting for you to speak.
another interesting character. It's not, you know, he's a pretty straightforward character, but I found him sweet and another, you know, symbol of adulthood done right, I guess, is the police officer. The thing that stayed with me the most is because, you know, he treats things very diplomatically. Camille escapes the orphanage because she doesn't want to spend the weekend with her aunt. And instead of, you know, going feral, he's like, you shouldn't have done that. But, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I'm gonna let the orphanage know and you can spend the day with me and Courgette. But the thing that stayed with me from his character the most was when they arrive to the police officer's house where he shows them, they see a photo of a kid and they ask, is that you when you were our age? And he says, no, that's my son. And they say, oh, really? Where is he? Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. What does he do? And he just says this thing, you know, sometimes it's the kids that abandon the parents. And then he just walks away. And I'm like, oh, damn.
He'd be like, I'm sad. Damn.
Yeah. Basically, well, let's go into the bedroom on the right.
As and, you can know, see.
it's, you know, obviously the adults are not the focal point of the movie. But I think they make some very important appearances in their subtleties. You know, the police officer with that and I think it's Rosie, right? Rosie, the caretaker. You know, she teaches them a lot. We see that, you know, in a basically side-by-side scene where when Courgette spends his first night at the orphanage, she gives him a kiss when he's pretending to sleep. She's like, okay, sleep tight, everyone. Time for kisses, and then y'all go to bed. And when Courgette is dealing with his affection towards Camille, he does the same in the bus. She's supposedly asleep. And he goes and he gives her a little kiss on the cheek. And he's like, okay, fine. Because that's, you know, it shows how they are learning how to process and how to feel affection and love and care for one another. And they, you know, how they take with all the innocence in the world, the actions of the adults. And put them into themselves, you know, to express their own feelings. I think that's really sweet and cute.
Yeah. Oh my god. This movie is so pure.
Yeah.
It is.
I find it funny. If you search this movie on Google, a lot of articles say, oh, this is an animation movie, but it's not actually for kids. As if it's in something new in the animation world. You can almost see that through Tim Burton, although it's still kind of a kid approach to things, but in a more deep way. And then there's Laika movies, which are also very deep.
I mean, honestly, you can find animation is not just for kids.
It's a technique.
A lot of them are like four kids, but actually they have more. I mean, who here never watched the Disney when they were a kid and were like, oh my god, I love this movie, and then watch it back again, like, now, and they were like, wait, I didn't know that talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, yes. It's not for kids. It's for everybody.
Yeah, okay. You know, animation is a genre, more like a media, a technique, more it than is. Anything. The stories you choose to tell through that, it has nothing to do with the fact that it is for kids or not, you know? It's just, it's how you want to express the story you want to tell. I think, you know, I see animation.
And it is.
Animation, actually, whatever, through that.
Probably, if you show this, My Life as a Courgette at a kid, you know, and it would probably say, I want a nice movie.
Yeah.
You know, it cool. would just say, oh, I like the colors, it was nice. Yes. Yeah, probably you wouldn't like it as much as, I don't know, Frozen. I don't know. But he would still like it because it's animation, colorful. He has kids yeah. in it. He can relate, you know. And then if you show it to an adult or to a old, like a teen, they would like get the messages and everything that's behind it. And they would still appreciate the colors and the art of it. So animation is for everybody. Hashtag yeah. animations for everybody.
Yeah, respect animation, guys.
Always.
It has, sometimes, you know, studying cinema, we come across that thing where sometimes certain techniques or medias or genres have this weird, bad, whatever, connotation around them. It's like, I understand that sometimes you don't like a certain genre or you don't like a certain technique, but that's you know, you shouldn't try to discredit or I don't know,
yeah,
make it less than it is, because you know, the way you choose to express your stories and to express your art and whatever you want to express with your movies, that's just it, the way you chose to do so, you know, like it's how you feel it's best conveyed, you know, the fact that it's animation or not, or it's a live action, or it is a musical, or it's, you know, a song, you know, an opera, whatever, it's fine, it's how you chose to convey your message, that doesn't make your audience, you know, I mean, it can kind of make your audience, but it doesn't restrict.
It does make your audience, but
it doesn't.
We got the idea.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not restrictive, you know.
And it's, we really cannot important. Generalize.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a problem.
It's the movie in itself that makes the audience, and not just how it was made or
yeah.
how it talks and whatever.
A lot of people discards like drama genre or like western. A lot of people discards the western because it's western, it's like, I don't like western, but like, what have you seen? One movie, watch two at least, or three, and maybe you like some, okay? And the same goes for animation. I don't like animation, it's for kids, but watch another one, and this one. If you want, I can give you movies for you to watch, so you'll like every genre on this planet.
Yeah.
And it's very, and forever, blah, 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 what's going on in my head, oh my god. it's a very important type of movie, because if it weren't for animation, maybe we as kids wouldn't have been introduced to cinema as early as we were, because since it's so much more approachable for kids and to a kind of more subtle and simple way to teach and introduce kids into this kind of deep aspects of life and deep things, they will not understand if they watch it alone. That's why it's important when you show animation movies, any type of animation movies, for them to be accompanied by an adult so you can explain what's going on. And furthermore, when they watch it by themselves, they can have a deeper and a different understanding of things. Because I have a very interesting example. my kid niece, one of my nieces, the Frozen fan. She watched Soul when it came out, and I found it very interesting what we get after we watch the movie, and what she thought about it and what her explanation about it was. We see the movie and it's very straightforward for us because we understand what it talks about and what those like metaphors are about. And talking to her, she was like, oh, yeah, he was walking and he fell in a hole. And then all of a sudden he turned into this big, this blue ball, and he was talking to other blue balls, and they were, and she was talking. Her explanation was just so cute and, yeah.
I'm sorry.
So that, I'm sorry, it was not the best word.
It was not the best expression to use.
No, I'm so sorry, but she, yeah, but she said it, the way she expressed it in Portuguese was, yeah, a ball, so
it
no,
works
not
in
the
Portuguese.
Best. Yeah,
yeah,
no, I'm
not
so sorry.
Not so much in English.
But it's, because I was thinking about how would she react if she saw this movie, like you were saying, Sausage, of kids' reaction to these types of movies, even though they don't understand the whole message. She would have said probably, she would have found funny when they made pranks or when they were playing or kind of extreme reactions from characters, because that's what kids kind of use as a, not a trigger, but as something to keep them from, keep their attention from the movie. If they still have the capacity to be focused watching a movie, because nowadays,
that's not all kids difficult. Can do that.
My, I have that's... kid cousins too, and they just don't care. They just don't care. I try to show them movies and they just, yeah, no, I'm gonna play with my Nintendo. Bye.
But yeah. Usually kids love animation because like it's colorful and it moves and it talks and it's funny and a lot of things usually happens. Kids don't like action movies. I mean, they like action movies for explosions, but kids don't like drama movies. Drama movies is the most boring thing for a kid to watch. They'd be like, just like, I want to watch Frozen. Animation is so nice for kids because even when they're like really, 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 really young, like 3-4 years old, they don't get things at all.
Yeah.
But they just like look at it because it's colorful, it moves.
Yeah, it's
sometimes
stimulating.
It sings. And so it's like, damn. I like that.
I like this moving bubble.
This makes me feel something. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm liking
but I
it.
Like it.
I'm gonna keep watching.
Yeah, nice. I see that with, you know, the youngest of, because, you know, we're 6 grandchildren at my grandma's house, so bear with me. The youngest of us all is just a baby girl. She has a lot more attention to things. I guess it's because, you know, the two boys that are older, they're like 7, I think. Yeah, they're 7. They you know, they put the TV on or put movies on or stuff like that as background noise while they're doing something else. They're at that stage where they're very active and they want to do everything. You know, they're playing a video game on the PlayStation while watching a game playing on the telephone while at the same time talking. Yeah, it's a mess. And
how
my,
do you do that?
I mean, my one of them clears almost all his games like that. He's playing and watching gameplays, explaining, you know, the step-by-step about.
Oh, it's because he doesn't know how to
That's,
play.
Yeah.
He needs to explain. Oh.
He's smart.
Genius.
Yeah. He's very smart.
I do
in that,
that sense. But only when I'm struggling. But when I'm struggling only. But
I'm not saying anything.
You know, that cousin of mine, he plays games that are, you know, a bit more advanced for his age. So I understand why he needs that help. And the babiest of the babies, you know, the girl, the little girl, she's like 1 and something months. And but she's very, you know, she's at that stage where she's really discovering shapes and textures and
shapes,
things like that, and colors. And so every time she hears music or like weird sounds on the TV or something, she just stays glued to it and she follows that, you know. It's a very interesting experience to see how kids at different stages, you know, at least in my family, react mm-hmm. to media, especially to movies, because yeah, they have very different levels of concentration and not how you would expect. You know, the eldest doesn't care and the youngest are very
I mean, the oldest care, but just not about movies.
Yeah.
Because like
I guess
like,
he just wants interaction.
To play a game and to watch a game play at the same time.
Can be cinematic.
And it is very cinematic. I think that's because when you get to a certain age, you want to have impact on things. And yeah. So they just want like to make their own story. So playing a game, of course, is more better for that purpose than movie. Because movie, you just like be...
Yeah.
Watching.
It's more
it's very passive. Watching a movie can be passive, and while playing a game takes on a more active role as a viewer. Like,
today's like kids, not saying that we are like super old, but like today's kids are really not much into like playing outside or whatever. They have video games. Darn nice. We had video games too. Not the same video games, but we had video games too. But I think that we are this generation that still got like both of the things. And I feel like kids today don't got really the both of the things. I feel that they're really more connected than we were.
Yeah.
And so, but that, so they are really much more like, how you say, like, they have much more reflex than we do. I feel like that. Because, like, a video game, they need to be, like, super concentrated and everything's happening at the same time. And if it's, like, advanced game, I'm sure it's, like, what? I don't know.
Last of Us.
What he plays. Something like this, right? So everything's happening at the same time.
Last of Us, but, you know, a lot of Star Wars games. Like, a lot of Star Wars games.
Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I feel like if this kid were to, like, confront me on my reflex, he'd be winning.
Yeah. He wins every single time we play. You know, I'm not the most skilled gamer out there. I'll let you know. You know, the only game I play out of my own free will is The Sims. And even... so, that says a lot about
definitely
me.
Not a gamer.
That says
you're a gamer,
lot.
Girl?
No, not at all. I prefer a whole lot variety of things. But gaming is not one of them. But, you know, I want to connect with my cousins, and so I play with them. They, you know, beat the crap out of me because, you know, we're playing, you know, those, you know, two, like, fighting games or something. And I'm, like, the only reflex I have is just put the controller on my lap and just keyboard smash.
And clicking on everything.
Yeah, keyboard smash. And they have all these ultra combos and they know every single... And I'm like, you're 7. How the hell do you know that? Like, what? And they managed to have this really strategic mind, you know, puzzles and stuff like that, and math, and things are very logic. There are things that he hasn't learned in school or whatever, but he goes, and he figures it out like that, and I'm like, I'm 20, and I barely know basic math. What the hell?
We were the same. But with other things, or some of us with the same things. I mean, my brother was like really, really good at games, and he was really bad at school, you know, because he didn't care. He just cared about the games, and he played like really heavy games, you know, like Call of Duty and things like that when he was like 12. And I was like, okay, I guess. And me just watching, like, really nice, you're killing a zombie now. But yeah, and probably, I mean, I'm not really like gaming, into gaming either. I play a bit, but not much. But I guess I worked on other things as a kid. Yeah. But I still think you can make them like movies. You just have to find good movies with explosions. They will
look. Yeah.
Michael Bay!
Michael Bay!
Yeah, I mean, I have to find a way to
show them Transformers.
Yeah, they like I said, they see things, like, they love their Marvel shows, you know, Disney shows and whatever. But it's that thing, they're not the kind of kids, I don't know if it's a generational thing or if it's just them, but they don't have the thing of turning on the TV, the episode is on, I'm gonna watch the episode, see what happens. Nah, they're doing, like, 10 different things at the same time, bro. They're like, you know, they're watching the story, they're doing all these things. I don't know if it's how,
it's
because
age.
Of how they play games and how they, you know, I don't know.
Let's be honest, we were the same. Probably we were, like, watching a movie, drawing at the same time, or doing some other things, you know. Like, I would usually, like, had a notebook with me, and I would write, like, when I was a kid, watching a movie and writing or drawing about something else.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. I still found a way to be, like, I don't know, to get not maybe everything that was happening on TV, but most of things, you know?
Yeah.
It's an age we need to do more, a lot of things to keep us, like,
interested. Now I'm figuring out that I'm the odd one because I wasn't like that. I was, you know, I was very, I'm watching
focused.
This, you know, a very focused kid. And I read, like, the news subtitles for fun, so.
Yeah, that's strange. That's strange.
So,
definitely.
I was a weird kid, but weren't we all? But
we were.
You know, I at least I had that thing, you know, if I was watching that, I was watching that. If I was reading that, I was reading that. Everything okay, Merch?
I'm sorry.
That noise was beautiful.
I'm so sorry.
But yeah, I mean, as a kid, at least I had that kind of thing of being a very focused kid in what I was doing. So
I
maybe
was also. It's kind of a mixture. I also did that thing of drawing while I was watching a film, but it was like at the second or third time I was watching that film, because maybe the first time I would watch it, I don't know, watching movies as a kid was kind of a family thing, and I remember watching Phantom of the Opera and all of my siblings sitting on the couch and singing the songs and closing my
Damn.
Eyes so I wouldn't
Phantom
see.
Phantom of the Opera.
Yes. And Moulin Rouge. Yes.
That's spicy for a kid.
Yes. And I tell Daniel. You, I was watching that as a kid and I saw that amazing scene from El Tango de Roxanne. I remember at that time feeling all already, like, really spiced up by that. I was like, oh my
You'd
God.
Be like,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I don't know what this is, but this is amazing. And then I grew up and I rediscovered the movie. And I was like, oh, this was the one. And then I watched it. I was like, oh, no. Why did I feel spiced up by something that talks about almost raping someone? No, I don't like this.
So, yeah.
Another thing about
Sexuality
growing up.
You were just going.
Awakening.
You were just going for the vibes. Merch as a kid was like, I'm digging the vibes, yo.
I like the vibes.
Merch is an adult. Ooh, those were not the vibes, my child. Those were
not
the vibes.
I regret some, a lot of stuff.
I mean, we all have that, like, childhood crush, right, on a character that
yeah.
was strange.
Yep.
Or am I just the only one that had, like, some characters that were just like, now I look at them and I'm just like, why?
My first childhood crush was Detective Conan from the anime.
that's not strange, because
I think
he is a kid and he is cute. I mean, I'm talking more like
Mufasa.
No. I mean, some guys had Simba up their list and I'm just like, that's an animal. No, that's too much. But like, Jafar?
Oh, no, I despise Jafar. He was... he disgusted me.
I can kind of get where you're going, Sausage.
Jafar? No, you know what was the first one? Well, Captain Ook, but not from the animation movie, from Peter Pan with, like, you know, live-action movie. I don't remember. I never saw that movie again. But, wow, that Captain Ook, I'm in.
Peter Pan was my crush. That...
Not Peter Pan, Captain Hook.
No.
Beautiful.
But the Peter Pan Comedy from genius. The animation, not from the live action one, because, oh my God, I don't know.
I'm in.
This is turning into a whole different episode, guys.
yeah, that's
childhood trauma to childhood.
Yeah, from childhood trauma to childhood crushes. I mean, that's a whole lot of
it's building connected. Up.
Well, it's they're about childhood. So
maybe we can do a poll on our Insta or something sometime about that weird childhood crushes or something. That
we could be will. Cool. We will.
We will? Okay.
It's like we will. It's an obligation.
Okay, guys.
I want to know everybody's childhood crush.
Look out for that then. We'll work on that. That might be cool. And yeah, I mean, honestly, we went through a lot of things this episode.
Yes, and we lost ourselves a bit at the end.
As we always do. You know, a rant is
we
a rant.
We always do.
The people that stayed with us ever since the first episode, I guess they already, you know, are expecting this kind of derailing from the but you know, thank you so much for listening and for supporting us. Thank you for continuing to join our rants. We hope to bring better and more amazing movies and better rants and better presence in your lives, maybe. And we just, you know, hope to grow a bit more. Hopefully, in 2021. Yeah. 2020 sucked. And 2021, but, you know, it's
it
just
wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't
Let's
that bad.
Let's be like courgette and look only at the positive. Because it brings a lot of positive.
Okay,
a lot of bad things.
Let's do that.
Positive.
You know, 2020 had its ups and downs, but we've moved past that as courgette moves past his life, his bad...
Way worse. Person, way worse.
Way worse life experience. Wear your masks. It's not such a big of a deal.
Protect yourself.
Protect yourselves. Others. Yes, and others, obviously. I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, we were like finishing the episode before going on this 2020.
But 2021 can be, you know, hopefully it will be better, and let's work so that it turns out to be an even better year with new achievements, and new life experiences. And yeah, thank you for sticking with us, and thank you for your support. And we're gonna finish off this episode for now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Bye bye.
Oh God.
Je n'ai pas peur de la route. Faudrait voir. Faut qu'on y goûte. Des méandres au creux des reins.